Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, a podcast hosted by international award-winning author, two-time TEDx speaker and investor, Natalie Torres-Haddad. She will share the tips and tricks from interviews with self-made entrepreneurs, leaders, and those who have attained financial freedom while learning financial literacy.
Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. I am here with Yai, the founder of Latinista. And yes, we are driving as we're recording this podcast because that's how you do it when you're traveling and working at the same time. I'm happy to have her here, and I'll give you a little spiel on her in a minute. But just a recap of what we've been doing, actually. So her and I were speakers at the North Star Conference, which was in Philadelphia, and you can hear our navigation system. We're going to go check out the Rocky Steps, of course. Do the cool little Rocky Balboa victory dance at the top. But we were speakers, and this was a conference for tech people and basically entrepreneurs, and it was put together by the Black and Brown Founders, an all-inclusive conference, which was great because it becomes this new platform for those that are less underrepresented, which would usually us, you know, people of color and women. And it was excellent sponsors and, of course, great speakers. She can talk about what she spoke on. And then I did one on financial literacy. So I was like, of course, let's do a special Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes on just not just the tips that have helped her business, but how she's helped other business owners. And just keeping this, we're going to do it half English and a little bit of Spanish because I wanted to be able to do something a little special for North Star. Not everyone speaks the language, but they can definitely learn as we go. I'm trying to make sure she doesn't, get into a car accident. The steps are straight ahead, so we're just going to go around and park somewhere. I believe if we turn around, there's a parking in the area. So Yai is based out of New York headquarters, but she does... Let's a navigation stop, right? She's done events all over, obviously not just in New York. And she'll talk a little about what she does, but that's how we connected. We've been on different panels together and obviously now great speaking opportunities at other conferences. And we'll be doing one in LA in a couple weeks. So really excited about that. Tell us a little bit why you decided to start the Latinista and really how it's helped thousands of women.
Thank you for having me while driving in Philadelphia. So I started the Latinista as a meetup group, very casual way to get professional Latinas together for the purpose of networking as well as helping each other out when it comes to getting a foot in the door when it comes to their careers.
Yes, yes.
So a lot of the women that approached us were really interested in setting themselves apart when it came to them being a candidate for a job.
Yes.
And so it has everything to do with your professional acumen, development, executive presence, the way that you're speaking, the way that you're showing up, the way that you write your resume or your cover letter.
That's key, people. That's key. Yes.
And so it's grown. So now I've been doing it for 6 years, and we do monthly professional development workshops on all of those topics, getting women of color really invested in their personal, professional career and leadership development.
Wow. And she's also very humble, obviously, but she she's an author, which we need more Latina authors in, and her book too. And she's coming out with another one, which I'm excited for. And it's something that we need to see is that when we see women that are representing not only us in the corporate structure and then higher executive level, the C-suites, right? This is exactly what we need to see more of, kind of that representation more than anything, the professionalism that needs to come with it. And she just said a lot of things, and I'm like, I could totally fix that. I need to fix that on my LinkedIn account. Things that
it's always an evolution.
Some of us don't see, and maybe on the right, there should be parking on the other side. We're in a big circle here in Philadelphia, which is, you can see the steps in behind us. Well, this bus is in the way. Oh, really, bus? You're going to drive with us, too, blocking my entire view of the cool steps. This is what happens when you do it live in a car. And on the right-hand side, I think there's some. But for you, and you obviously do this full-time, this is your business. And I think you might fit in that one, too, if you go back. If not, another one over here. She does this as a full-time business. So obviously that means a different mindset than working from the 9-to-5 corporate. But is there any tips that you can... let someone know that maybe they're taking that plunge, or you know, they're feeling maybe not as motivated, but what's helped you create and continue to create the business that you want doing this on your own?
I think, you know, something that you focus a lot on and that I love and respect is having a financial plan in place. Like, you don't just jump out into the world and do, create a new business and such. You have to be able to have
the business plan and strategy ready for it. So right. It's really important that you say, okay, I've got about a year and a half's worth or 2 years worth of savings in the bank.
Yes.
That way you don't have as much pressure on you to be able to bring on different clients or to do something that you don't want to do. So it's really, really important to make sure that you've got a financial strategy in place to be able to have your own business.
Yeah, and you know, I think obviously she comes from a professional background, so having that cushion is so key, because most people sometimes take the plunge. I get it, sometimes it's an emergency and and you know, they lose their job and that's just what happens, but it gives you a little bit more of opportunity and options, because she's not so like, oh my god, hungry that I have to get this closing. She could be more selective on the clients that she works with, and obviously learn, know which partnerships to work with. So I think that's a key fact that she does, because she's done events at HBO, Google, LinkedIn. She is definitely, I know people have called her this many times, it's the LinkedIn ninja, and I'm like, totally her. So for those that are looking to really find out how you can polish it, you should check out her LinkedIn, of course, and we'll give all the social media handles afterwards. But one more tip, if you can tell us one thing, well, actually, I didn't even start off with my signature question, but for most people, what is the first check or cash that you got probably that made you think differently, that maybe 9 to 5 isn't for you, but you can actually make more money working on your own?
Let's see. So I've done quite a bit of workshops for women, but I think every time that someone purchases a ticket, it's sort of just a reassurance as to the need in the community.
Yeah.
The women of color, women in general, even men come to these workshops and they say, I need help. So every single month I do events, and every time somebody purchases a ticket, I'm like, there is a need. They want to learn. Perhaps they don't have the funds to go back to school. Perhaps they don't have the time. So my workshops really are a conduit to being able to say, hey, I want to learn something new. I want to network. I want to be around people that are going to help uplift me. So every time somebody purchases a ticket to my monthly workshops, I think it's just reassuring to me that I'm on the right path and that people are looking for this.
And she's valuing herself. I think we just had that conversation that it's the worst when someone or a corporate company or huge company reaches out and you're like, oh, this is exciting. They're like, oh, wait, you charge for your services? Like, what do you think I'm doing? So obviously as women, we have to value ourselves, value what we do. And I like how she says, you know, those tickets can remind us what we're doing. Obviously not just to sustain ourselves, but to show people. I think it's a hypocritical, and I come across this many times with other, you know, companies and other businesses where like, oh, well, we don't pay. And I'm like, wait, but you're telling people to value them, but you're not investing in them. So it's really important to have that from the beginning and understand structuring it. And all her events are so well done, put together, and it's great to see the type of sponsorships you get, because I know a lot of us are like, oh, we can learn from that for sure. Another question for you is, if there's something that you would have told, because you've been doing this for many years now, if there is something you would have told yourself starting out as far as like, things will work out, because I think sometimes we need to reflect on like where we are now, which is not only blessing where we are, you know, not just in our careers, but maybe you can kind of give yourself some advice that you probably would have told yourself when you were starting out.
And I think for me, it always circles around finances, being smarter about my finances. I mean, I've been blessed and very lucky to be in great positions with really awesome companies and big organizations that have given me promotions and bonuses and the opportunity to save a lot of money.
Yeah.
But I didn't necessarily know what to do with all that money I was saving.
Yeah.
So I had, you know, a good amount of money in cash where I could have been either investing in real estate or investing in the stock market. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know. I didn't ask any questions. So I wasn't surrounded by women who knew these things, and I wasn't smart enough to ask.
That's key. I mean, you're still young, but that's something that we wish we would have got right out of college. And I think she's hitting the points. Like, maybe we're literally the first in our generation and our families to go to college, get great jobs, get some great income, but there's no direction. And so that's great advice that you would have given yourself, because luckily for her, she has no debt. She's like, she's on it. And I think this is what we need more examples of, because I think there's that false presentation where, especially in LA, or, you know, you're from New York, so it's the same thing where it's kind of that everyone looks like they have the cash and the money, but they really don't. They're living not only paycheck to paycheck, but on top of that, whatever they can to scramble around. And they look like they're so fly and, you know, all this great stuff, bling bling. But at the end of the day, we know that they're hurting. And so I think that's such a key, that she's not just an example of it, but she's reminding herself like, okay, how do I position myself? And that's one of the biggest things I see these mentors that I've spoken with all the time, and they say, oh, our wealth is not through flashiness. Our wealth is because we know how to not only earn our money and save our money, but really invest it. So good advice for those that are starting out. Even if you're not young, you're just restarting all over again or whatever it might be. Have that in mind, kind of like, well, if I have some cash, this is something that I can start investing in, not just in myself, but in my community. If there is, can you tell us maybe a couple resources, maybe books or podcasts or something that that you listen to that you feel it's a great recommendation for people that are listening?
Yeah, so there's definitely a newsletter. I like to read newsletters. There's one called Broadsheet by Forbes magazine. So it's a daily newsletter and it focuses all around powerful women.
So I gotta check that. Broadsheet?
Okay. Yeah, Broadsheet. It's really great. So we'll drop it in the links.
Yeah.
But I love it because it's a roundup of everything that powerful women have done yesterday, the day before.
Yeah.
So for me, it's just really inspiring to know these moves that these women are making, and it just sort of solidifies, like, there is space.
Yes. Wow.
We're being represented. This is fantastic. I need to reach out to this woman and ask her how she did that.
Yes.
You never know. But I really love that one.
And she's obviously in a niche market too. So it's important to have, like you just said, that reminder of like, I'm doing the right thing, right? Any favorite books or something that you feel?
God, I wish.
She's read so many books too. So we'll have to put them in the show notes too, like what she recommends. But if people want to contact you, what's the best way to do so?
Yes, on LinkedIn, of course.
Of course. Why
so,
do I ask?
YAI is my first name, Jai Vargas. I am the LinkedIn ninja, so if you ever need any tips on how to best present yourself or find a job or clients on LinkedIn, that's me.
Yay. So stay tuned for those that want to learn a little Spanish or just kind of brush up on it. We're going to do a few minutes of it. So this is actually helps also with the spinoff because I do have a podcast in Spanish.
To learn more about the podcast, check out financiallysavvyin20minutes.com. For more interviews, make sure you look up Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes on YouTube and Instagram TV. To hire the trailblazer, as Forbes featured her the financial and mental health advocate for your next workshop or speaking engagement, follow Natalie at Financially Savvy Latina on all social platforms. All it takes is 20 minutes daily to become financially savvy. Music by Nikki and produced by Robert DeLude.